This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
People say Aaron's going to be sad to see Shea Stadium go, and I said, I'm not at all. I think it has seen its day, and it has some scars that are ready to go, and the new stadium is going to be terrific.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm feeling a little bit better. The one thing about this, I'll be totally honest with you. Sometimes it's really, and I don't want to say tough because I sit here and talk sports. I'm well aware of what the job is. And a lot of times it's 3 hours a day. So I get it. That's why I chose this profession. You should have chose this profession. You should have worked here for 18 years before you got this thing. But no, what I'll say is sometimes the worst part of the job is on nights like this, where I don't want to talk about like Jalen Brunson getting hurt necessarily. I don't even want to think about it. Or like after the, you know, I'm a big Yankee fan, as you all know, Giants fan. After miserable losses, brutal losses, Rangers losses, like sometimes you want to just turn off the world and pretend it doesn't matter, put on a movie, and not think about it. And I have to come here and rehash it a lot, which is sometimes tough to do. But sometimes it's cathartic. And overall, as long as he's not overly hurt, I'm starting to feel a little bit more positive. Maybe, you know, if it's just a sprained ankle, even if it's a high ankle sprain and we're looking at a month of not seeing him, I still think the Knicks overall will probably still finish with the 3 seed, and he'll be back this year, and he'll be back for the playoffs, and the Knicks will go on. But it's we don't know what it is yet. It's a scary injury. His foot went completely the wrong way. And you're trying to figure out what, after a brutal loss, it's just one of those nights that you want to just crawl into bed, and especially after late night, you turn that game off at 1 o'clock, you want to go right to bed instead of rehashing it. But it actually, today, I think it, because of the nature of it and the idea he'll be back, hopefully, I feel like yelling about it helped me feel better. So I hope it did for you as well. 888-808-1019. Now let's feel worse. As we look at all the options that the New York Jets, and really for that matter, the New York Giants, I know it started off as the wheel of culture quarterbacks that the Jets can find, but because there's so much talk about the Giant quarterback position too, it's almost like you could interchange it. But this was built on the idea that Aaron Rodgers wasn't good enough for the Jets, that he wasn't a winning player that they're looking for, that he wasn't a good option, that they couldn't build a culture with him. So every day we, at 3 o'clock, we spin the wheel of quarterbacks and we look for a better option. We're doing yeoman's work for the New York Jets. So I hope they're thankful and I hope they're listening as we go through all the different options. And we've went through some doozies on options for the New York Jets quarterback this year. And today is no different. Today, until the Jets make a decision, until the Jets announce their quarterback, until the Jets sign someone, trade for someone, end this saga, we will do it every day to help them out. So today is no different. On this Friday, the 7th of March, we spin the wheel of quarterbacks. I'll take an S, Ryan. Coming
back to throw. Flushed out.
Reminds me of the Wheel of Fortune.
In trouble. Slips a tackle. Got to launch it. He does. Left side. Into the end zone. Jump ball. And it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh, my goodness. It's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it. He caught it for a touchdown with 1 second left. I can't believe it. You've got to be joking me. Hopkins reaches up with three defenders around him and pulls it in. And the Cardinals lead it 32-30 with a second left.
Kyler back to throw. Fires to the end zone on the right side for A.J. Green, who caught it. Touchdown, A.J. Green. One-on-one, a fade. And it's dropped in a bucket for Kyler Murray's fourth touchdown pass of the day. Play clock at one. Snap to Murray. And he's going to keep it running right to the outside 10. Stays in bounds at the 5 and into the end zone for his second touchdown. Then he takes the football and hoists it into the casino.
Shotgun snap. Murray from his end zone. Looking. Pumps. In trouble. Gets hit. Throws the ball forward. And it's picked off. And it's a touchdown. He underhand threw the ball. David Long picks it off. Walks in for a touchdown. What a disaster. My goodness. You can't make that mistake.
Kyler Murray, come on down. You're the next contestant on the Wheel of Quarterback. As an option for the New York Jets, maybe? Well, obviously, a lot of news around the idea of trading with the New York Giants to bring Kyler Murray to be the quarterback of the New York Giants. Well, first off, right there, you have to trade for him, right? Now, if you look at his contract, he's going to be 28 years old. Obviously, first pick in the draft. He's 3 years into a five-year, $230 million deal. His base salary for this coming season is just $18 million. But it comes with a roster bonus of 11.9 and carries an approximate salary cap hit of $43 million. Now, you would assume if you'd be willing to trade for him, you rip up the contract, you give him an extension, you could play numbers with that luxury, with that cap hit. But that is still a lot. And there's talks with the New York Giants that they're going to want the third overall pick. You must be out your mind. Not trading the third overall pick. And if I'm the Jets, I'm not trading the seventh overall pick. So what would you even have to give for Kyler Murray before you even to discuss him as a quarterback? Now, look, do I think he has abilities that clearly Aaron Rodgers doesn't have? And for all you crazies about the offensive line, is he able to move? Is he able to run? Is he able to create offense with his legs? Is he able to move the sticks with his legs? Does he provide things that a 40-year-old man, even as injury-prone as Kyler Murray is. Now, he did play every game last year, but think of how much time over the last couple of years Kyler Murray has missed. I mean, when you play that style, that's the other thing about it. Oh, he's too old, he can't move, he gets hurt. Well, sometimes when you run, you get hurt. We've seen Kyler Murray, obviously, play that kind of game and get hurt. We've seen right here in this town, Daniel Jones run a lot and get hurt and have neck injuries and leg injuries and knee injuries. Like, when you play that game, you get hurt too, and Kyler Murray has been hurt a lot of his career. Does he have a lot of talent? Yes. Have they been a winning franchise with him? No. Have they had moments with him in Kingsbury when that first started where you saw his explosiveness jump off the page? Yeah. Have there been seasons where they start really well and then fade? Yeah. That has been a very common theme with this Cardinals team. This year, they were really up and down. Where, you know, they would play terribly. They would really run the ball through Connor, and that was how they played football. They came and blew the doors off the Jets that game. Like, they had up and down nature of this season, but ultimately they have not been a winning franchise with him. He's got arm strength, clearly, as you heard the Hail Mary throw to Hopkins there, which is a very memorable play and one of the better Hail Marys ever. I'm sorry?
You said Hail Mary. That play is officially
named Hail Murray. Right, correct. As you heard the Hail Murray right there. He's got arm strength. I don't know how accurate he is. I don't know how accurate on the run he is. Is he a decent option compared to the rest of the wheel of quarterbacks? Absolutely. Right? Stafford is obviously up there as a trade candidate, although that's now no longer plausible. We talked about drafting at the top of the draft as one of the options. This is an option where you would bring in a quarterback and you would feel, I don't know if it's a guarantee because I do like Aaron Rodgers, but you would feel like you have as good a chance or better of winning games right now with Kyler Murray. But what is it going to cost you? What are you going to have to do to make that trade? Does Kyler Murray willingly come here to the Jets and is happy to be a Jet? There are a lot of question marks around it. I still don't know if he's a winner. I still don't know if he can stay healthy. I still don't know if he's good enough as he, you know, ages here and gets into his 30s, which is probably what you're going to be looking at moving forward with him, giving him another contract to avoid the heavy cap hit of this year. Like, do I see his game continuing to be like this? Do I see him being able to transition into more of a pocket passer? Do I see long-term success with Kyler Murray considering what you're going to have to give up for him? Or is it just, and never mind the fact that you have a $35 million cap hit minimum with Aaron Rodgers. So you could be talking about paying a lot of money, paying a lot of draft capital, all to bring Kyler Murray to your team? The actual play on the field makes sense and is as good as spin the wheel gets. But ultimately, I don't know if it's a better option than just giving Aaron Rodgers the money. And I don't know if it's something that's even in the realm of possibility. So when it comes to the verdict on how we feel about whether or not this is a successful spin of the wheel, our final decision is...
No, you're never gonna get it.
Oh, nothing like In Vogue. Another video I'll always remember, right? Was it In Vogue and Salt and Pepper? Was that the combo? It was definitely like a duel. It was Salt and Pepper. It was like In Vogue and someone else. I feel like it was Salt and Pepper. It was a mix. It was a duet between the two groups. But one of, back when music videos were cool. But you're never going to get it. It's not plausible. It's not going to happen. I doubt very much they're willing to trade, although they are in a win now mode. And let's hear from the coaches, we always do, and then we'll get into what the coach had to say to one of his star players today, as Zach Rosenblatt of the Athletic tweeted out. But let's find out whether or not Kyler Murray, for me, it's never going to get it, but does Kyler Murray fit the profile of what Aaron Glenn is looking for in the next Jets quarterback?
Listen, I look for guys that love football. I look for guys that are highly competitive. And I look for guys that endear themselves to their teammates. We're looking for smart, tough, aggressive, and resilient players.
I think Kyler Murray comes fairly close to all those things. Does he love football? Well, he chose it over baseball as he was drafted by the Oakland A's. We remember that. Is he resilient? He's come back from multiple injuries. Is he tough? I don't think he shies away from contact, sometimes to his own detriment. Is he a winner? That's the question for me. Almost everything else that was asked endeared himself to teammates. There's been some issues with teammates, I believe. I don't know overall if that's a major concern, but to me it's just, is he a winning player? Is he good enough to really lead a franchise like the New York Jets out of the absolute debacle that the franchise has been and the cloud of the no playoff appearances hovering over it? Is he good enough to come here, with which would be a much valued move, a lot of draft capital, a lot of money? He would have to come here with a lot of anticipation, a coach talking about winning right now without really any wide receivers on the team other than Garrett Wilson as of today. A cap hit along with Aaron Rodgers, the money he makes, makes it difficult to build out the rest of the roster. You're probably going to lose Reed. The defense might take a hit. I just don't know if it's the right move for the Jets, who are in win-now mode, especially if you listen to the coach. So today, Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic tweeted out or spoke to Quincy Williams, who Quincy Williams was a little bit outspoken when the Jets decided to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Oh, I'm sorry, that was Quinnen. I apologize. This is Quincy, his brother. Quinnen had something to say. So his brother was outspoken about speaking about Aaron Rodgers and whether or not he was ready for a rebuild. I guess I'm ready for another rebuild, or I'm up for another rebuild. Coach talked about having to speak to him, and apparently he spoke to his brother Quincy as well, as Quincy has reported on saying, I've spoken to AG a couple of times, and I'm very excited. He's one of those coaches that is straightforward with you. The first thing he said was, I came here to win, not to rebuild, and I'm on the same page as him and ready to win. This coach continues to talk up winning. I mean, I'm not trying to tell you I know everything. I'm wrong more than half the time, let's be honest. I feel that's probably not true, but I'll say it for this moment. I'm spinning the wheel of quarterbacks at 3 a.m. because there isn't one. The Giants are possibly signing Aaron Rodgers because they don't have a better option. The quarterback draft is considered one of the worst over the last half decade. There is no one in free agency. There is nowhere to turn to. They have a quarterback on their roster right now who the best thing you could say about him is won almost half of his games. He can't stay healthy. And he's not really a very good, he's a solid backup in this league and a good veteran guy to have on your roster, but he's not going to lead you to victories now. They got rid of every good player. They're going to lose Reed. They've already gotten rid of Devontae Adams. And he's still talking about winning now. He's telling everybody it's not about the rebuild, it's about the winning now. Well, this better be one of the most impressive culture victory teams we have ever seen. Because he is setting himself up for failure. Like, I hate to just put it at that bluntly, a statement, but this coach is setting himself up for failure. He has removed all of the good players under the guise of culture. And he's still talking about winning and setting the bar of those expectations. And that's great, right? You want expectations, and I understand it. Is the team there to live up to the expectations? Is there a quarterback in the room? Is there an offense capable for a rookie defensive head coach and an offensive coordinator with no experience? And he's telling everybody, whether he's angry with the media at the combine telling him, whether it's players privately telling him, everywhere Aaron Glenn goes, he's talking about winning now. How do you expect to do that? And why, for someone who claims he knows the franchise, would you set yourself up for that failure year one? Because there'll be certainly, like, if you downplay expectations, if you talk about the building process, if you talk about the idea that it takes time to do these things, if you talk about that, then when it comes to fruition, it's part of your plan and you look like you knew. If you keep talking about winning and you lose, well, now it's harder to sell me on the idea of, well, this takes time. No, that's not what you told me. You told me you were here to win and to win now. You told the players you were here to win and win now. And when you make decisions halfway through the year based on the obvious nature of what happens in the NFL, say you draft a quarterback late, say you pick up a young kid, I don't know, whatever the case, and Tyrod Taylor isn't winning games for you and you make a decision to move on, how are you going to look to the players that you told it's all about winning now when you make normal basic decisions for a team and a franchise in the position such as the Jets? You're creating an issue inside the locker room. We could talk about holding players accountable. Nobody's want to hear culture and accountability when you've been preaching winning now and winning now isn't happening. Yeah, okay, you want to divert, you want to quell any issues that they're having right now because they want to win and they don't want to hear rebuild, and so you tell them all the things they want to hear, and you can whisper sweet nothings to them all you want. It doesn't change the fact that how do you expect to win this year? I don't think there's anyone, any Jet fan, anyone right now with where the Jets are that expect winning. Now, what are you going to say? If you win six games, what are you going to say? Well, we lost Aaron Rodgers. We lost this. I think winning six games here is winning. We've started to turn around, held players accountable, building a culture. Like, what are you going to sell us on? Winning is winning. Like, I don't know why he's pursuing this so strongly. He needs to stop. Talk about building this team. Talk about it takes time. It took time with your last stop. You and that coaching staff didn't show up and just suddenly win. It took 2-3 years to get to where you were. Stop acting like you're going to turn the Jets around within a few weeks here. Like, it's going to take some time. And I don't think anybody would blame you if it takes time. But it's not going to help you to continue to spew stuff about winning. You want to give it to the room? Fine. Once the season starts, sure. No one, you don't talk about losing with the team. But stop telling everyone under the sun that you're about to go and turn this thing around in a year. Because when you don't, you'll have explaining to do and no one will believe you. And you'll be in the same position Robert Saleh was in, the same position Todd Bowles was in, even though he kind of won year one, although he just fell short of the postseason. But you'll be in the same position these other failed head coaches have been in. You're a defensive-minded head coach. Your quarterback didn't give you an opportunity to win. And we're all sitting back wondering whether or not you're a legitimate head coach. That's why I want it to stop. That's why I wanted Aaron Rodgers. That's why I want a better option. Because you know what? This franchise is, like, we just played Jared Allen the other night, last night. That's the perfect example. Jared Allen, former NFL great, defensive end, going to the Hall of Fame, stands there at a podium and wants to just talk about a bad team or have a little fun at a bad team's expense. And who's the first team that comes to his mind? He's literally just like, who's bad? The Jets are terrible. I can't believe anybody took that job. That's the prevailing thought of the rest of the NFL. That's not just some guy sitting on his couch. That is a former great and future Hall of Famer who just was looking for a team to have a little fun with and make a joke about how he could say anything these days. And who's the first team that comes to his brain? The Jets. They are the definition of losing. When someone tries to come up with a loser, they come up with the New York Jets. That's it. That's the first. The first thought is, who the hell would take that job? The Jets are just pitiful. They haven't made the playoffs in 15 years. And so to handle that, we go, hey, we're getting rid of our good players, but it's about winning now. These are all football decisions. Every move so far, and again, the NFL season hasn't even started. Maybe I'll be singing a different tune. I don't know. But so far, this is what you're getting from the New York Jets. I'm going to get rid of all my best players. It's all football decisions, and we're going to win this year. Good luck with that. 888-808-1019. Jones Stewart, I know you guys are on hold a little bit. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back to your phone calls. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. About an hour and a half through a three-hour ride up until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll continue to take your calls on the Knicks. We just opened up to the Jets and the quarterback situation. Obviously, that lends itself to the giant conversation around Aaron Rodgers and my man, Art Stapleton. I got to get on the phone with Art Stapleton. Oh, yeah. He even used the word negotiating. They're negotiating with Aaron Rodgers. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be insufferable. You're going to hate me if Rodgers goes to the Giants. And then I know you're all thinking that they'll lose anyway, and then you'll have your crack at me. If the Giants, you know, are 2-4 after six, and that would be an improvement for where they normally are after six, but, you know, they're 1-7 after eight or something, it's a disaster. Rodgers hurt again, you'll have your fun. But while he signs and until football starts, I am going to be insufferable. I hope that I am so excited about the prospect of Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback of the New York Giants, I can't tell you. Draft a quarterback and Aaron Rodgers? Awesome. At least I know I'll be rooting for victories.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Full windup by Clemens. And a swung on hit high in the air, deep to center field, way back it may go. Gone! A grand slam! A grand slam! Mike Piazza!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so it sounds like Rodgers and the Giants are an actual possibility. It's like I've spoken it into existence. Not just me. I know Evan was on it too. A lot of it makes sense, man. It makes so much sense for the Giants. It made just as much sense, if not more sense, to keep them with the Jets. And the Giants right now, you draft the quarterback, which I think you have to do. And you bring in Aaron Rodgers. It's perfect. And it sounds like, because again, just look at the options, man. It's not like there are better options. That's the main thing. And I know they signed DeVito back under contract, but there's no other options out there. We went through them all. We'll continue to go through them all every morning at 3:00. They're just not out there. Aaron Rodgers is by far the best option. A pissed off, motivated Aaron Rodgers. Just out there to try and, you know, save his name for 1 year when you're not going to have to give up a lot of money for him. And if he's willing to come to the Giants, it probably means he's not with Pittsburgh or, you know, that they don't. It sounds like Pittsburgh is in on bringing back Fields. So like, I don't think Pittsburgh wants him. I don't think some of these other contenders want him. He's coming back just to play football and just to, you know, not have his career end the way it ended last year. And if you can give him Malik Nabers, maybe another passing option, you've got Theo Johnson, the young tight end who showed some promise before getting hurt. You got Wandell Robinson, who I really think, if used correctly and given a legitimate quarterback, can be, you know, especially the way Rodgers likes to get rid of the ball quickly. I mean, you can create space for him. He's shifty. He can, you know, his first step speed is, like, I don't know how fast he is, you know, 40 time, but it feels like his first couple of steps, he can create separation and be shifty in those first couple of moves and get you, you know, 7 or 8 yards just getting the ball behind the line of scrimmage kind of thing. Like, I like him. I'm not saying he's a Pro Bowler or a great, great player, but you get another, like, you could trade for Metcalf right now. Like, if you could trade for Metcalf and you bring in Aaron Rodgers and you get Metcalf and Neighbors along with Theo Johnson and the other wide receiver. I mean, I don't know about Slayton necessarily, but I mean, you got Wandale Robinson, Metcalf, and Neighbors along with Tracy, the young running back. If they could block it up a little bit, that's an offense. With Aaron Rodgers, that's an offense. It'll be far better than the Giants, anything the Giants have seen in a long time. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls, though. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Yeah, good morning, Chris.
What's up? Good morning.
Aaron Rodgers would be a good fit for 1 year, like you said, and a draft a quarterback, and away we go.
Mm-hmm.
But will they do that? How close are they?
Well, I don't know. Art Stapleton was on the Pat McAfee show and used the word negotiating. So, like, I don't know if that just means they're talking and that's the same thing as negotiating, or they're literally a little bit down the ways of actually talking about, joining forces here. I think it makes
anything
sense.
Anything that comes from the McAfee show concerning Rodgers, you have to take a little bit, a lot more seriously, because that seems to be Rodgers' way of,
It was Art Stapleton, who covers the team for NJ.com, does a great job.
Right.
He's the one who said it. It wasn't Pat McAfee unsolicited talking during his show. They were asking questions to Art, and Art was the one who said negotiating.
How bad is Brunson's injury?
I don't know. I mean, he's going to be out for a while. I mean, it looks like a severe sprain. So long as it's just a sprain and it's not any other significant damage, he hasn't broken any bones in there, he didn't dislocate it, whatever the case may be, and thank you for the call, Stu. I don't know how, bad it is, but if it's just a sprain, even if it's a light sprain, it's going to be a while. And then even if it's a severe sprain, I'll live with it, however long he's gone. Because, I mean, he'll be back by the end of the year. I mean, he'll be back in time for playoff time, and that's really all that matters. He's going to be gone, I would think, a month, right? A month to 6 weeks. So let's say right now, that's the end of the season pretty much. Yeah, today's the 7th. A month is April 7th. So you're talking about, say, April 8th against Boston. Those are the last four games of the year. So it's going to be some time, but I would expect him hopefully back for at least the last handful. I mean, he could miss a lot of games here. He's going to miss a lot of games. It is a devastating injury. It might not be a disaster injury, season-ending injury, season ender for the Knicks, which it would be if he was a season ender for them. Like, we'll see. But high ankle sprains take some time, man. It's basketball. I know you could tape it up and you wear the high, the high tops or whatever, but he's going to be either playing hurt or it's going to be a long time. That looked like a significant injury, and he's tough as nails. So to immediately know, like, he didn't even think, he didn't even try. He didn't even say, hey, let me see what a defensive possession feels like. He just said, it was obvious. I'm shooting these foul shots and I'm getting off the floor. That's a troublesome sign. I did not like that. And I don't know how any Knicks fan could. And then you consider the loss on top of it and the way things went down. And now you're going to rely on your other superstar, Carl Anthony Towns. You make this trade for these moments, kind of, right? You make the trade so that you put superstars together, obviously, for the playoff push and the playoffs. But you have another guy now this team can run through offensively. And along with Mikal Bridges, you should be able to get enough offense. Now, they're not going to be a top five offense in the league like they are right now without Brunson, but they need to figure out a way to be functional. And there's still games here they can win. I mean, it's a little bit, obviously, the West Coast trip is tough. Portland's bad. That should be a victory. And you come home, Miami, San Antonio should be a game you can win. Charlotte's one of the worst in the league. Washington, Dallas now. I don't know if AD would be back by March 25th. I didn't see how long they expect him to be out. But you got Portland a couple times here. You got the Sixers down the stretch. The end of the season's tough, though. The last handful of games after Philadelphia, right? So I went through it, the Knicks schedule, right? You got this West Coast run against the Clippers, the Kings, Portland, and Golden State. You come home for one game against Miami, then you go back on the road for San Antonio, Charlotte. So you get, after the West Coast run, you got Miami, San Antonio without, Wamby, Charlotte, Washington, Dallas possibly without AD and obviously without Kyrie. The Clippers at the Bucks, which is tough. Back to Portland, and then Philadelphia. So that's a stretch of games that aren't that bad, right? A Miami team after the trade, still tough and played a good game against the Knicks, but a game you could visualize them winning without. I'm talking about games you don't think they can win without Brunson. Miami's not one of those games. San Antonio's not one of those games. Charlotte's not one of those games. Washington's not one of those games. Dallas is one of those games. I don't think the Clippers are one of those games. All right, at Milwaukee, tough. Portland won't be one of those games. Philadelphia won't be one of those games. Then you get Atlanta on the road, who I would say isn't one of those games, but Atlanta gets up for the games against the Knicks. You know who is going to be up for the game against the Knicks. They always play the Knicks tough. Their length and athleticism gives the Knicks a tough time. Then you got Phoenix, who's obviously not as good as they should be, but then Phoenix, Boston, Detroit, who I haven't checked on what they did the last two games, but they've been one of the hottest teams in all of the NBA, Cleveland, and then Brooklyn. So, but that run right there, Atlanta, Phoenix, Boston, Detroit, Cleveland. Now, Cleveland might have nothing to play for. Boston might have nothing to play for. But against the Knicks, I'm sure they'll get up. That's the stretch you would love to see. Like, if Brunson is back Saturday, April 5th against Atlanta, I'd sign up for it right now. And he's back. Or even Wednesday, April, against Cleveland, theoretically, right? So let's say that's what you're looking for. Wednesday, April 2nd. So today's the 7th. You're talking roughly 4 weeks, a little bit less than a month. If you can get him back for that, Cleveland, Atlanta, Phoenix, Boston, Detroit, Cleveland, heading into the postseason, I'll feel fine about it. And they've got to make hay over that middle stretch after this road trip. They've got to win, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They got to win 6 out of 9. Miami, San Antonio, Charlotte, Washington, Dallas, Clippers, Milwaukee, Portland, Philadelphia. Those are 9 games that Knicks got to win 6. Even without Brunson, you got to win 6 of those games. You got to beat Miami, got to beat San Antonio, got to beat Charlotte, got to beat Washington. Dallas won't have 2 of its best players, certainly not Kyrie. You got Portland, who's bad. Philadelphia's, who's obviously terrible. Like, you got to win most of those games. That's going to be a stretch for the Knicks where they're going to have to step it up without Jalen Brunson. The other big news, obviously, the Yankees. Brian Cashman came down and graced us with his presence and spoke to the media and talked about Giancarlo Stanton and Luis Gil and gave some injury updates. Obviously, Luis Gil is going to be gone for 3 months at the bare minimum. Again, I would not expect him until after the All-Star break. I think you could put him and Stanton in the same place after the All-Star break. But the Stanton injury news, one, if you listen to Brian Cashman, I'm going to get the audio after the break. It sounds like he is unhappy with how this didn't happen in the offseason. Because, the question is, well, he was dealing with this last year in the offseason. Why didn't you know about this? And he's like, the complaints didn't start until 3 weeks ago. Brian Cashman just plainly said, he didn't tell us anything. He didn't say, there was no word of this is bothering me. So I think he's annoyed that he showed up at camp with this injury and it wasn't but maybe that's when he started to feel it. I don't know. But clearly, we all understand. And here's the thing. Here's the main thing. Forget everything else. We know. Cashman told us last year, injuries are part of his game. And right now, if you get him for the postseason, if you get him for September and a postseason push, that's as much as you can ask for right now. But the New York Yankees need to act as if Giancarlo Stanton is not on the team. Plain and simple. Giancarlo has retired. Giancarlo has been traded. Giancarlo is injured for the entire year. Whatever you want to pretend, Giancarlo Stanton isn't here. That's how I think the New York Yankees need to handle this. And that's why we've been pushing for a bat. And that's why it's bothering me that they've known he hasn't swung a bat for a month prior to the season and nothing has been done. And there seems to be nothing that could happen. No injury to the rotation, no injury to the middle of the lineup, no ineffectiveness or not a major league player at third base. Nothing is going to impact this owner enough to spend money to help bolster a roster and a lineup in particular that has Wells hitting leadoff, and we'll get to that next. I mean, it doesn't have a prototypical leadoff hitter, which doesn't necessarily bother me. We'll get into the leadoff conversation in a little bit. 888-808-1019. But, like, the middle of the lineup's not great. The bottom of the lineup certainly isn't good. There's no DH. There's no third baseman. And there seems to be nothing that could happen prior to the year, because if you listen to Brian Cashman talk, it's like, hey, you know, Booney's going to work with what he has at third base. Plain and simple. Booney is going to work with what he has at third base. There's nothing coming. Forget it. Steinbrenner, it doesn't matter what happens. He spent his $300 million. He's at the final luxury tax. He's at the Steve Cohen luxury tax. And he's not giving Brian Cashman another dollar to work with. That's it. I gave you $300+ million. It's up to you to find me a team that can get to the World Series. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And from a bird's eye view, maybe that's a fair, hey, look, I gave you, I have the third highest payroll in the sport. I've given you $300 million. Build me a team that doesn't have these many gaping holes, right? That's what the Cashman haters would say. And it's a fair critique. But it doesn't change the fact that this owner, already over the luxury tax, has the money to add a significant bat to this team. He could trade for Nolan Arenado and eat the money. He could trade away Marcus Stroman and eat most of that contract to give you a little bit of relief. You can figure out a way and you can spend the money. After losing the World Series in the fashion they lost it, after losing Juan Soto to the Yankees, after telling me you have a chip on your shoulder, there's no reason a couple million dollars already over the luxury tax should prevent the Yankees from adding what they need. And it is. And it is. And it's frustrating. And it continues to be frustrating every day. And every single interview and every single conversation about who's hitting leadoff or about who's playing third base or about Giancarlo Stanton's injury or about anything else we want to discuss, it all comes back to this. They have a hole. I still think they're very good. I still think they have less holes than most. I still think they're the best team in the American League. I still think as long as Judge is there and healthy, that the offense will be good enough to win 90-plus games, probably win their division, and then we'll see what happens in the postseason. But that and that's probably what the owner is relying on. The owner probably agrees with what I just said. And the owner thinks that, hey, maybe I got to save some money at the deadline when we have a more crystallized idea of what our needs are. I need some money to be able to address it then. Blah, 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 blah. The problem is that that's not good enough just to be the best of a down American League. It's not good enough. And I'll argue with people, and I do, because I like arguing with people, that they are. But don't mistake when I argue with you, if you're one of these Twitter crazies who bother me, don't mistake when I say the Yankees are the best team in the American League, or when someone says the Yankees are going to win 75 games this year, or the Yankees are brutally bad, or the Yankees don't do anything right, or this team's an embarrassment, that I push back, because I don't view one gaping hole that the owner won't fill while still having the best team in the American League as an embarrassment. I don't look at this team and think they're going to win 70 games. I don't think the offense is a bottom offense in the American League. I don't think they're doomed for a disaster. I don't think the manager's an idiot. I don't think Brian Cashman's the worst GM in the world. I don't think the owner needs to sell the team. That doesn't change the fact that they should do this. Like, can we all, it feels like every conversation around it, I never go far enough for people. I'm mad that they haven't fixed third base. I'm not mad that Hal was the son of George. I'm not mad because I think they're awful. I'm mad because they're not putting their foot on the throat of the American League when they should. When they should. But they are not a joke. They are not a disaster. They are not one of the worst-run franchises in the sport. They're not going to win 75 games. They're not going to miss the playoffs. They're going to be a good team. They're going to pitch their ass off. The offense has a real chance to be a top five, top four offense in the American League. And I'm not even saying that's a great offense. It's just the truth when you look around the league. Who's got a better offense than the New York Yankees? We scream about it. We yell about it. Who's got a better offense than the New York Yankees in the American League? Maybe the Baltimore Orioles. Maybe the Boston Red Sox. The Texas Rangers. Give me another one. Give me another one. That's it. So we can complain about third base, and I will every single day on this show, every time I have an opportunity to. But we go too far when we say, oh my God, what a joke of a lineup. Oh my God, this team. Oh, they are going to be terrible. They're going to miss the playoffs. They're going to be fine. They're just not going to be someone I believe at the start of the year is strong enough for me to feel confident that they have a excellent chance to win the World Series. That's it. Right now, I feel they have a chance to win the World Series, but is that offense like legit World Series offense? No, not with two holes in it without Giancarlo Stanton. And that's what they should be striving for. And I'm not asking them to go out there and sign, you know, a player for $40 million like the Red Sox did. I didn't expect Bregman for $40 million. I know. I get it. No one's asking you to spend $80 million with the luxury tax and the tax on it at the 110% tax. I understand you're not going to give $80 million to Bregman. Like, I think that's reasonable. I know a lot of Yankee fans wanted that, and I understand why, and I wish he would do it, but I know he's not, and I'm not going to kill him for that. But there are minimal moves here. There are minor moves here to improve your team. Jose Iglesias would improve this team. He got a $3 million promise of showing up to spring training. You can't do that? Like, that's where I have a problem. Jose Iglesias is a better option than the options they have right now. That's all. Not an all-star, not a world beater. He's not going to go out there and win MVP. He's not going to change this team at any real great. It's not all of a sudden, well, you sign Jose Iglesias. That's a horse of a different color. Suddenly, this is the best offense in the league. No, but it's better than what they have, and it's $4 million. That's my problem. My problem isn't the $40 million to Bregman. My problem is the $4 to Jose Iglesias. My problem is the $10 or $12 or $13 to Nolan Arenado. That's my problem. We'll get into the lineup construction. Who should hit leadoff? And is Wells a legitimate option to hit leadoff and how we feel about it? I heard Evan talking about something we've talked about here on this show as well, Judge hitting leadoff. We can get into that too, and it does make sense. And I do like the Wells hitting leadoff for a particular reason in the lineup, and it's not necessarily about Wells at all. 888-808-1019. So we'll do a quick break. We'll get back. We'll do a little bit of a lineup construction. And we'll get back to the Knicks conversation at 4 o'clock. The Mets, dealing with their own issues, played a little sloppy defense. Edwin Diaz with a terrible first outing in spring. Doesn't really matter. Juan Soto can't catch a ball. And the Yankee fans on Twitter erupt with joyous, with a joy and a fever at the idea of being able to stick it to the Met fan, which is below us, people.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Here comes a throw home. He's going to be out at home. Oh, what a throw by Soto.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 356, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Say a little bit Yankees there. We'll get into the Yankee roster construction because I think the leadoff. Let me just say this before we take a call. The one thing I say, I don't know how I feel about Wells as the leadoff hitter, but I will say two things. One, I think speed is overrated for the New York Yankees at the top. I said this last year. I'll continue to say it when Volpe hitting leadoff. Was last year or whatever, like in front of Soto and Judge, certainly even more than just Judge. But in front of Judge, it's not just the walk, right? Because that's what, you get on first base in front of Judge, you steal second base, they walk you. That doesn't even bother me as much because now I have first and second, nobody out. Like, I want Judge to swing the bat, absolutely. But I got to trust my 3-4 hitters on some level to be able to do something with first and second, nobody out. So that bothers me. It's not the killer. I just think that I don't want to take the risk of running into outs in front of Judge. That's the main thing. Yes, you steal the base, they walk him. No doubt. That's part of it. It's also just, why would I risk outs in front of Judge? Like, that's the one thing. With a runner on first, I got a guy probably wanting to, not pitch around Judge to not to create first and second, nobody out. So I got whatever the protection is behind him, which I think is overblown. I mean, Judge has had, who was hitting behind Judge last year? I know he had Soto in front of him, but I mean, J.D. Davis was hitting cleanup at times last year while Judge was having the best season of his career. Who was hitting behind him in 22? Like, the idea that he needs someone to protect him, otherwise he's never going to get a pitch, is a little bit overblown. I'd like to have him protected, but the idea, if he doesn't get it, you could forget him having a big year. Who the hell has ever hit behind him? I know, Stanton for times. Like, I get it. It's better than the option right now, but we've seen nobody hit behind him and still hit. But in front of him, I'm not risking outs on the bases, stealing bases. And I'm certainly not going to create an open first base. So that's why I think speed is overblown at the top. We'll see if Wells gets on base enough to actually make this work. Because if he does, then I do like it. I don't know how I feel about him, but what I do like is the speed 5, 6, 7, 8, where you could put Jazz, Dominguez, and Volpe at the tail end of the middle of the lineup, leading into the back end of the lineup, where I'm looking to create runs. If I got those three guys with all that speed hitting 6 and 7 in front of my 8, 9 hitters that right now, without a doubt, whether it's the third base or Grisham or whoever, like right now I don't love 8, 9, I'm able to play small ball. I'm able to do different things leading into the top of the order again, where if I get on with Jazz, I get on with Volpe, I got the idea of double steal. I got the idea of just hit and run with the bottom of the order that I hope can, put the ball in play. Like, I create different things that I wouldn't do at the top middle of the order. So the idea of the speed all bungled together, I think bungled is probably a bad word because that has a negative connotation to it. I'm trying to be positive about it. All bundled together, 6, 7, 8, 9, creates a little bit of creation where the offense can actually try and look to force the issue and create runs and do things on the base paths and do things a little bit differently than typical Yankee teams have done. You're not going to do that with your first two hitters. I know everybody wants to hit Judge third. You put two speedy guys in front of them. What are you going to do with speed there? I want guys on base, plain and simple. That's it. My best on base guy. I also don't mind the idea of a guy who I think in a short porch left-handed can hit home runs lead off. I remember the of course, I'm going to lose his name because it's 4 o'clock in the morning. But the great broadcaster used to play, Ken Singleton. The great Ken Singleton used to talk about how he loved having power hitters lead off in extra innings. Because nobody wants to, you don't want to walk that guy. You want to make sure you get on. In front of Judge, you're going to get, no one's going to pitch around Wells. So you're going to get Wells more fastballs, just like anybody else putting in front of Judge. But to lead off the game, I either got a guy, hopefully I can get a little bit more on base, plus a guy with a little bit of pop, left-handed, maybe hit some home runs, getting some fastballs. I don't hate it. I think you could put Jazz there and say the same thing about his pop. Like, Jazz has some pop. You put Jazz leadoff, you could look at some leadoff home runs as well from him. But I don't mind all the speed helping create runs at the back end where I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to hit and run with Judge. I'm not going to hit and run with Bellinger pretty much. Like, I'm not going to do that at the middle of the lineup where I would try and do it at the back end. So I think it's an interesting concept. He's going to have to get on base to make it work though. Like, I think he's been a 320 on base guy. I'm going to need a little bit better if I'm going to hit him leadoff. Now, I don't know if they have a better option with on base. We'll see how it goes. Clearly, it's something they're considering. They're doing it constantly. And yesterday was kind of the Cole on the mound, regular opening day lineup, other than Judge DHing, which I wouldn't see for opening day. And then the other conversation real quick about Judge, I'll get into it a little bit more. I know Evan did a lot today on hitting leadoff. I want Judge hitting second, but I'll say this for all the people who don't like that. I would rather hit Judge leadoff than hit him third. He's hitting one or two. I'm not giving them two outs before I get to Judge. I'm just not doing it. Or in a big situation, the bottom of the lineup does actually get on base, two outs, and here comes, Jazz and whoever else I deem worthy of putting ahead of Judge. So I don't know if I love Judge leading off, although he's been uber successful there, particularly in 22 when they were forced to put him there. And I do think it's as good a protection as you're going to get for him, because nobody's going to want to walk him to start the game, and you're going to have two of your best hitters behind him. Like, I think it actually makes some sense. I would just leave him too, but I'll tell you this right now. I'd rather hit him one than three. I'm getting him more at-bats. I'm not moving him further back in the lineup than two. 888, same thing for Soto. Soto hits two. Judge hits two. I can live with him hitting first. I don't want to hit him third. I don't care about the RBIs. I don't have good enough hitters to do it. Juan Soto made sense. I had Juan Soto hitting second. Great. One of the great on-base percentage guys in the history of baseball. Sure, put him in front of him. They don't have that anymore. I'd rather hit Judge leadoff than hit him third. And we'll get into that conversation a little bit, because you look around the league, the prototypical leadoff hitter, this isn't the, you know, we're not looking at the 70s Cardinals anymore. Like, this is the world. Look at the leadoff hitters. Schwarber is a leadoff hitter. The best hitters in the lineup have been, Ohtani is the leadoff hitter. Gunnar Henderson is a leadoff hitter. Ronald Acuna is a leadoff hitter. These are guys who prototypically would be in the middle of the lineup, the biggest power bats they have, and yet a lot of teams are hitting these guys leadoff. This is today's day and age of baseball. It is what it is.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.